have to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way, I know we can find a way.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. Again. You can get involved by calling 888-773-773-888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question is a doozy. The biblical question, what will happen if you came out of your movie? What would happen if you came out? What would happen if you came out of your movie? You ever think about that or thought about it? What would happen if I came out of my movie? What would happen? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, running around, doing whatever it is that you're doing, trying to protect the illegal alien from being deported, pretending that you care so much about them, while within yourself, you know it's about the vote and it's about the money. If you are sending your children to a public school because you hate your children and there is no thrill in staying home and watching over the man's children or educating them, you don't get the same thrill that you get when you go to work and people say how wonderful you are and they award you. Or if you are beating your husband right now, you're fighting your husband right now, and you're too busy to watch the show. Or you're beating your wife right now, and you're just too busy to watch. You can podcast. Or you're just laying at a beach in the Bahamas or anywhere in the world. Or working out. You may be working out, but whatever you're doing, you can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live. On TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And you can podcast, but you can be listening no matter where you are around the world. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go buy me a coffee. Oh, my life, Mr. Milo. Buymeacoffee.com/JOP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right? That's a lot. It's Tuesday. And Tuesday is one of my favorite days. Not just because it's Tuesday, or just because it's an amazing day anyway, but it is Country and Western Tuesday.
All my faults, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time, because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe you'd take this anger from my soul. And I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so he could lean on me.
Perfect peace. Amazing.
Amazing.
That song is so amazing that it makes you want to slap your mama. It's so good. It's amazing. So I have a guest for you, and then eventually I get you your calls and your super chats. I've been telling you for a long time now that America is, well, I used to say, hey, it's becoming South Africa. And then you didn't pay attention. You didn't believe me, or you didn't know what to do about it. And now America is South Africa. I have been telling you that over in Mommy Africa, South Africa, that the white people have been under attack for so long. And they finally gave up their town, their country, at least the city part of it. And they said to the blacks, okay, blacks, we're going to move out. We're going to move out to the farmland. And we're going to let you have everything we'll build. We're going to leave it as is. Y'all can have it. And I will, we're going to move out to the farmland and start all over again. And the black was like, yeah. And their black leaders like, yeah. Now y'all can listen to us black leaders. And so the blacks start listening to other black leaders in Mommy Africa, just as they've done here in America. And it got so bad. It had gotten so bad in the beautiful area that white people left. The crime, the destruction, the robbing and stealing and killing. And so the blacks started to go out to the farmland and attack white people. And white people were like, what the? We gave y'all every, y'all ain't happy yet. And they start, the blacks start breaking into the homes of white people on the farmlands, just as they're doing in the suburbs of the United States. And they start robbing them along the highway and the roadside, just like they're doing in America. And it's a mess in South Africa. Do we have the guest yet? No?
No, not quite yet.
Okay, let me know. And I have a guest coming up for you. And this guest is the CEO of... my guest's name is, his name's not Irania. I don't know what his name is. Joost Stratum. And Joost is the CEO of Irania, South Africa. Irania is a, according to Wikipedia, I don't call it this, all right? It's a white, they call it separatist South Africa. I don't call it that at all. It's a white South African town founded by Afrikaners. It is located along the Orange River in the Karoo region of the Northern Cape Province. And so that's a lot. I don't know what all that means, but I know it's Mommy Africa. And as soon as we get the gas, I want to, they found that what they're doing there is a remarkable thing. And it's exactly what I have been suggesting that the white people do in America. I have been suggesting, and it's time, before it get really, really too late, that white people need to take parts of America and create a new constitution, create a new justice system, create a new police force, a new everything, and then not let the blacks in. Because now you don't care what they call you. You can't be hurt by name calling or that because you have your own place. I have been suggesting that in America, and the white people won't listen. So maybe my guests will be able to help them. Yost, right? Yost is with me now. Hey, Yost.
Apologize for the short interruption and some technical difficulties, but still it's a privilege to be on the show. Thank you for the invite, and looking forward to have a good conversation.
I am too. Thank you so much for coming on. I do appreciate it. So you are the CEO of this Orania, right?
Yeah, I'm at the Orania Movement, which was, which is our ideological movement. It is a movement that was founded in 1988 with the goal of creating a homeland for the Afrikaner people, also known as the Boer people, which is the descendants of Dutch, French, Germans, and so on, people who settled here and became one nation, a people in own right here in Africa, and is now facing a lot of persecution and racial legislation under the South African government and so on. And now we have to build anew, to create a new community and to create a new place for our people.
I love the way I've seen videos of the new place that you guys are building, and I love it. And I want to show some videos as we move forward. But I want to know, what's the difference between a white Afrikaner and a black Afrikaner?
So the there's different groups who migrated into the area, the region, which is now known as South Africa. So we like to think of South Africa more as a region, as one country, because it's so diverse. So from the north of the region of South Africa, native black tribes moved, and more from the south was the Dutch and the Germans and the French who settled here, and also the Khoisan people, which are traditional nomadic hunter-gatherer people who were also traveling around here. And all these peoples met, they were forced into one union. The British system created one union, which made South Africa, which was different republics and colonial outposts and kingdoms, the Zulu and the Xhosa kingdoms, and the British forced all of this into one country. And this was sold as later on in 1994 as the Rainbow Nation, the dream of Nelson Mandela and so on. But in the end, the most of the peoples in South Africa still want to live their culture, and there's diverse cultures. We like to live our culture, to build our institutions and so on. So in Orania, we decided on a different path, the path of creating a future for ourselves, not exploiting anyone, but building. And the area that we chose is in the Karoo area in South Africa, which is a semi-desert area. We said, there's no one else living here. We will start anew, and we will build it brick by brick, a future for ourselves.
Amazing. So let me ask, is it true that white people were the first people in South Africa, or were there blacks there when whites arrived?
Yeah, so I think the important thing is to understand that South Africa was not a country, and more than that, it was uninhabitable, most of it. So some of the areas where the Afrikaner people settled, which is my ancestors, were uninhabitable before infrastructure was put down. Take, for example, the area where we are in now, which is the Karoo area, as I said, a semi-desert, and multiple massive infrastructure projects was needed to be built here in order for water to just be available so that people can survive. Before that, people did not really survive here on the long term. They could only stay for short term. So in this area in particular, the infrastructure that was necessary here for large-scale settlement was built by my ancestors, the Afrikaner people. There you can see the very, very early days of Orania as a part of building these dams and so on. So as the white Afrikaner people moved from the south, tribes moved from the north as well. During the Great Trek, we met one another, sometimes friendly, sometimes in conflict and in battle. Trade deals were signed. There was deals for areas of land that were signed by both parties. So there's many peoples living in the greater South Africa, but definitely the Afrikaner has a right to its own place, to its own piece of land. And yes, that's very important for us.
So one other quick question about the tribe thing. I know I've heard of the Zulu tribes and the Hutu tribes and things like that. Were white people considered to be tribes as well?
I don't think so, not historically. However, I think there is an argument to be made that the Afrikaner is the white tribe of Africa. We've been described as that because we weren't settlers who came here, took resources and left again. We were people who made this continent our home as well. I always use the example that my great-grandfather moved to South Africa, which was at that stage the Cape of Good Hope. He moved here in the 1660s, 1667 to be precise. That's 100 years before the United States declared independence from Britain. So for 100 years before the U.S. Declaration of Independence, my ancestors have been here. And for that reason, we see ourselves as people of this continent and to a certain extent a tribe of people. And, you know, some of the native tribes, some of the royal families of such communities, they are recognized by the government. But the ANC government in South Africa, which is very communistically inclined, they are unwilling to accept that the Afrikaner people have a rightful place and so on. And as we see now with President Trump letting in Afrikaner refugees because of the problems that we face here in South Africa. And if we were just acknowledged as a people with our own leadership and our own political structures, as the local tribes do have, we would be much better off.
Were you born in South Africa?
Yes. I was born in South Africa, as I said, almost 400 years ago. My great grandfather came here. My people have been through wars here. They fought the British many times, and so on. We did the Great Trek. We fought local tribes. We signed contracts with local tribes, and so on. So yes, I was born in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. At that stage, facing a lot of violence when the ANC and the IFP were fighting one another in the 90s to see who would be the next government of South Africa when the previous regime ended.
At one point, South Africa was controlled, and then I want to get out into this new town, but at one point, South Africa was controlled by white government and white everything, and it was a beautiful place to visit, a beautiful place to live, and a beautiful place for everything, right? Because white people rule. And then Nelson Mandela, the ANC, which is communist, communist regime, they start to complain. We don't like what white people to control, right? And so white people, and they call white people racist, they call them everything. And white people finally caved in, as they're doing in America, and they allowed the black ANC, Nelson Mandela, and all that group of people to take over, and they destroyed South Africa. And white people decided, okay, y'all could have this mess. We're going to move out to the farmland. We're going to do our own thing. And why did white people cave into the demands of the blacks, knowing that the blacks would try to destroy them even if they didn't move away? Why did white people give in to them?
That's a good question. I think during the and without negotiating a space for us that could truly be ours, it's one of the reasons why we are very angry at the previous negotiations, is there was no area for Afrikaners, for our people, for the white Afrikaner people, allocated as a space that we can have. So during the negotiations, we basically got nothing and we lost everything. So there should have been a negotiation saying where there's a recognized space for the Afrikaner people. That did not happen. But I must say, and that's one of the reasons why we think the Americans should be part of the solution to the problems now in South Africa. They helped it to happen. Sanctions from the US, a lot of pressure from the US, pressures from Europe, pressure from Russia. We actually had to fight at that stage the Soviet Union, Cuba, East Germany and Russia on our borders. So from the communist side, there was a lot of pressure. And from the so-called capitalist side or the West, there was a lot of pressure. And minority rule in South Africa just couldn't continue. There was so much international pressure. There was so much issues. The sanctions, we were excluded out of everything. And then, you know, white South Africans voted that negotiations must happen for basically the surrender of South Africa to the ANC.
It was amazing to see that happen because white South Africa knew that Nelson Mandela was a communist, a socialist. They knew he was about himself and not about the people. And yet, I guess from the pressure of the USA and other countries, white South Africans caved in. I want to ask this, and then I want to move out a little bit. What is it like in South Africa? For those who don't believe me or don't know, what is it like in South Africa now that the whites have gone and the blacks have taken over? What is it like in that area now?
Oh, I'm going to shock you now with an interesting statistic. South Africa now have more laws based on race, racially discriminatory laws in its legislative framework than there was at the height of apartheid. Currently on the law books in South Africa, there are 142 laws based on race.
Wow.
Most of that weaponized against the white minority in South Africa, specifically the Afrikaner people. Our legal system is weaponized against us, and our version of DEI is called BEE. We are the pioneers of the so-called DEI systems, you know. You have it, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We have black economic empowerment, which is basically the weaponization of a legal framework against the Afrikaner white minority. And to that extent, we are locked out of the economy. We are locked out of getting jobs in government positions. But now two important things happened. In the past 6 months, the communist ANC government made two big moves. And those are moves very specifically designed to undermine the negotiations in the 90s under the circumstances which the Afrikaner gave over power. The one foundation was the idea that we can keep our property, right? The other foundation was the idea that the white Afrikaner people can keep their own schools so that their children can learn in Afrikaans and learn their culture and traditions. The ANC government ripped both those, which was pillars of the negotiation from under our feet. They signed two bills into acts recently. The one is the Bella Bill, now the Bella Act, which is signed saying that Afrikaner, white Afrikaner parents cannot be in charge of their own schools anymore. The state, in a very communist, socialist manner, the state took control of the schools. The other one, even more shocking, is the Expropriation Without Compensation Bill. So what does expropriation without compensation mean? It's very easy to figure that out. Walk into a shop, take something from the shelf and walk out without paying. That is expropriating something without compensation.
That
is exactly
here.
What the government wants to do with the farms now. They say property can be taken, nothing to be given back from the native white Afrikaner people. And those two things are shocking. And on top of that, we have crime. I mean, we speak about 80 murders per day in South Africa, 150 rapes. Corruption on an industrial scale. We have load shedding, which is the inability of the government to provide electricity up to 12 hours a day in the worst circumstances without electricity. That's what we're facing, and that is why President Donald Trump said Afrikaner refugees are welcome in the United States.
Yeah, I want to get to that too, because we have some white Afrikaners here, and it's about time. But and so white people moved out into the farmland. They gave up that area to the blacks, and they have made a complete mess of it. Is it true that the blacks are now going out into the farmlands and attacking white people, raping, stealing, robbing, and things like that?
Yes, the issue that you're referring to is farm murders. And sure, crime in South Africa affects everyone. It affects the whites, it affects the blacks, and so on. But it's disproportionate against farmers specifically, Afrikaner farmers. Everyone is affected by the crime. Let's not deny that. And it's very harsh and it's very bad. But it's a disproportionate effect on the Afrikaner white farmers. They are being murdered on their farms. People can Google farm murder South Africa and they will see the shocking results of this, which is basically a form of land warfare. The people are being driven off their farms, being killed and being tortured in the most brutal imaginable ways. Just recently, this morning, I spoke to a guy. He survived. They set his house on fire and they shot him four times. And miraculously, he could survive that, which is wonderful. But that is the reality many farmers face and be driven off their farm. So the people of Orania decided for two reasons. One reason is security and safety and freedom. That is that package. And the other package is to say, to live in justice. We will not exploit anyone, but we want to move to an area which is a semi-desert area in the middle of the Karoo region. And there we will establish our own place. We will build on our own piece of land. We will build our own institutions, our own power supply, our own water. We'll create our own currency, our own flag. And on that area,
amazing,
we will do our own work.
And so just for the blacks in America, when you hear the word Afrikaners, he's talking about white people, folks, and that they are under attack by the blacks. Even though they've given up everything to the blacks, Nelson Mandela folks and all them, that blacks are going out into the farmlands now and they're attacking Afrikaners, which mean white people. And so as a result, you guys founded and built this area called Orania?
That's right.
And so Orania was an empty desert, right? In South Africa. Nothing out there, no nothing before you guys arrived. Am I right?
It was a literal ghost town. We started with a ghost town. It was partially destructed. The infrastructure broken. And we started in 1991 and we decided we will rebuild. We will create running water to the farms. We built infrastructure to get water to the farms. We started farming there in semi-desert environment, built houses, we built institutions, we built a college, we built schools for our kids. We started from the ground up and we built. Not 1 cent of government money, although we still have to pay tax to the ANC government, sadly.
Wow.
Our tax money is still flowing out of Orania. We're not getting that much back. There you can see houses that we built in Orania, the Orania flag waving in front of it. There some people used old shipping containers to build houses. So you can see the solar power on the roof of that previous picture. Are we creating our own energy so that we are not dependent anymore on the communist ANC government's, Eskom, which is failing to provide electricity.
And so Orania is built by whites, even all the work is done by white people. It's a town for whites only. And you can't, even if you are a criminal, you can't even. Is it true that if you're a white criminal, you can't live in this town?
We have no intention of harboring criminals, of harboring drug users. We have no intention of looking after them. We have no intention of having our kids being subjected to drug users, drug sellers, and criminals. If you are found guilty of such an offense, you will lose your right to residency in Orania, or you'll have to go.
I love that.
We also keep our traditions alive, our traditional song, dances. We celebrate our own holidays from our Christian faith, from our culture, from our history. To position ourselves as unique as possible so that the world can see we are a unique people.
Let me take a quick break. Hold on for me. Back in a moment, folks. Back in a moment.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta, living at home with my mom, and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening, and I started just being more at peace, and I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God loves us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-775-3773. A quick reminder, the Hake Report, H-A-K-E. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. E. White, the guy with the good hair, and he's on fire. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. E. Black, amazing. And then the American Anchor Baby. At 12 noon today. All right. The American Anchor Baby. I want to get back to my most interesting guests, at least one of them that I've ever interviewed. They have over in South Africa. I've been telling you for years now that if white people don't stand up, that black people will destroy them. And so white Africans gave up their African land. And they moved out into the farmland, and the blacks went out there and started stealing and robbing and killing. And so now they have started, they have done what I'm telling white people to do in America. Find your own area, create your own government, your own constitution, your own court system and everything, and don't let the blacks in. And they are doing this in this town called Orania, South Africa. And it's all white. It's for whites only. And the blacks can't come in. It's amazing. It's like amazing to me. It's about time. And white folks, y'all better be trying to do that in America before it's too late. I want to ask you, I'm talking to Yost Stratum. So Yost, Orania is a white town for whites only. It's been built by white people. You have your own school. You even have your own money, right? You guys made print your own money. Am I right?
That's right. That's right. There you can see one of the older versions of the URA, which is a system we implemented for a few reasons. Firstly, the South African government makes it illegal to compete with the rand. So we had to find a creative way to create our own so-called currency. This is the URA system. It's basically a coupon system. So what we did is we used this money with our own symbols and so on, and we back it in the bank with rands, making it a total legal system to use, but also giving us a very significant few advantages. The first advantage is that it creates circulation of monetary value in a community. Remember, we started with no economy yet. There was nothing. We had to build a new economy. So it helps with that. The second important thing is it helps us against attacks and crime. No one is going to rob a store in Orania, attack a gas station, attack the bank or rob the bank, because if they attack us, they will find that they have robbed money that they cannot use elsewhere. they now have money that they cannot use elsewhere in the country. You can only use it in Orania. So it won't be a good idea to rob us. We can't use the money. The third thing is there's a big investment with all that rands backing the Ora in the bank. That's gaining interest every month, every year. So if you have 10 million or 20 million or whatever amount in the bank backing these Oras, that works for you. While you trade with the currency, there's massive value in that. And another important thing is to say we put our own symbols on it. That's all the series that you showed. We have a new series now. I can also maybe post that on my X account. You guys can see. But that's, we got our own symbols, heroes from our own history, you know, our own folklore, our plants and trees that we are proud of. And that is how you communicate who you are by things like that. The symbols that you use is very important.
Amazing. And so black people are not allowed to, are they allowed to even, I know they can't live there at all, right? They cannot move into Orania, right?
So we have a right of residency panel, which looks at many things, specifically criminal history, drug history, and so on. But also we focus on culture. And for us, the cultural focus is, do you celebrate our history? Do you share our values? And those are things that's also important to us. So it's more than just the color of a person's skin. It's also the culture that he lives for, that he works for, the freedom strife for the Afrikaner people. And I know it might be confusing, the name Afrikaners. We're also called Boere, which is farmer, which means farmer. But that is our traditional name for our nation, for our folk.
Right on. Who founded, whose idea was this, and who started this town? Who was the founder of this area?
Now, the important thing to understand is that the Orania idea was founded before the end of apartheid, right? So Orania is not a reactionary community. It's a community that's standing on its own feet. Even in the 50s, some people say, for survival on the long term, a new beginning is necessary. We must concentrate our people in one place and in that place build our own institutions. One of the important role players was a visionary sociologist called Dr. Chris Huister. And he said, we must move into one place and there we must do our own work. Professor Karel Boshoff, which is one of the founders that did a lot of the grassroots work and convinced many people. He was a theologian. He actually did a lot of theological work as well under some of the black populations in South Africa and Africa. And he was well respected, but he also said, we have a right to create a space for our people, for the Afrikaner Boere people. And so these people established Orania with a good moral grounding, with a good academic grounding. The philosophy of Orania was well built, and they also had good relations. They said, we will stand for what is ours, but we will do it with good relations to the outside. We are not hating anyone, right, but we have the right to build a place for ourselves.
Right on. I know we scared you for 30 minutes or so. Can you hold over a little longer?
Yes. We're having a good conversation. I would love to do so.
Nice. I read, or maybe I heard, that Nelson Mandela visited Orania at one time. Is that true? And what was his reaction to the town?
Interesting. Yes, very, very interesting. That was in 1995, the year after the ANC took government, and there was a lot of uncertainty at that stage in the country. Many people were very worried and so on. And I think he reached out in order to try and establish relations and so on. Also, the widow of Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, which was regarded as the architect, the so-called architect of apartheid. She lived in Orania at that stage, Betsy Verwoerd. And Nelson Mandela, at that stage, the president, he flew in by helicopter, he landed here, and he had coffee with Betsy Verwoerd, and he left again. More a focus on her, but some other presidents of South Africa also visited. Jacob Zuma also visited Orania. He was an ANC president. He said if the communities in South Africa, the other communities in South Africa organized like the people of Orania, the entirety of South Africa will fight poverty. That was his words after he saw what the Afrikaners are building in Orania. And many other politicians came to Orania and had conversations with our people, because we are here. We are here, and we are here to stay, and we will build a future here.
Right on, man. I have been suggesting that white people do the same thing here in America, because exactly what happened to the whites in South Africa is happening to the whites in America. They have allowed these blacks to take over the government and everything, and they are blaming the white people for everything, and the whites are being raped and murdered and killed in the suburbs and all over. Am I wrong for suggesting to white Americans that they need to separate from the blacks and start their own town in America before it's too late? Create their own government, their own money, their everything, and keep the blacks out. Am I wrong for recommending that to the whites?
I think, you know, we, in the first instance, we stand for freedom of association. If people would like to live in an area where they integrate with many different cultures and communities and religions and so on, that should be their right. But I think you should also have the right to freely associate if you choose to create a cultural institution, a place where your culture, your religion, and your people can survive. You should also have that option. I think there are some examples of people traveling from the U.S., communities traveling from the U.S., and people can see on our Orania Movement YouTube channel when we interviewed some of these people. Like, came here, they came to Orania, they said, we want to learn from you, we want to build something similar in the United States. So I think there's already some examples. Immediately, the return to the land movement comes to mind. People will say they feel like they're becoming a demographic minority in their own areas.
Yeah.
They want to be in a space when they can start and build their own institutions and so on, setting up their own local constitution. So people should have the right. If they want to pursue a path like that, they should have that right. People who would like to live in metropolitan areas and have different cultures surrounding them, that should be their choice. But we should also have the freedom of association to build our own communities.
They tried to do that in an area there, Buckhead, Georgia, I believe it's called. The whites tried to do the same thing there, but they were stopped for whatever reason. And then in Louisiana, they're doing that in Louisiana, where the whites fought. Now they're building their own white area and keeping the blacks out. What is wrong? Oh, let me ask you this. What do you think about the white South Africans who have now moved to America? Recently, they moved to America looking for freedom, not realizing they are running into the same mess that they're running away from, because it's truly happening here to white people in America. What do you think about white South African coming here?
That's a very interesting phenomenon. You know, our first reaction to President Trump's executive order granting the right for refugees to people of South Africa, specifically white Afrikaners, was that we were very, very interested, because the expropriation without compensation, which is the communist bill to take the property, has been implemented at that stage, and President Trump reacted to that.
Yeah.
So we were thankful for the recognition that we got as a people. We are thankful for the fact that that they saw the problem and they saw the urgency. But we also said, Afrikaners are a people of Africa. We as a people will die out if we leave our fatherland, you know.
Yeah.
So it's also saddening for me to see people leave. Although I understand, with all the farm murders going on, with all the corruption, with the lack of electricity, the systems failing, I understand that people want to go. But I also want to say, you know, we must have the right to remain here if we want to.
Right.
And for that reason, we ask the U.S., listen, we have a three-letter request to the United States. The United States help get us into this situation, because they sanctioned the Afrikaner government. They put a lot of pressure on it. They was part of transforming South Africa to the communist ANC government. Now they must be part of the solution. South Africa, the people of South Africa must have the opportunity to have local communities where the different groups can thrive. So if the Afrikaners want an area, the U.S. must help recognize that. So we had a three-word request for President Trump. Help us here. We want to be helped here.
Right on.
And that was our request, you know, and it got a lot of traction because we are people that's driven with solutions. We don't want to be refugees. Some people will go. I understand that. Some people will go and they will look at the U.S. I think sometimes, you know, we don't fully understand the United States. We know what we have here. We know what our situation is here. We can, so I think people will run into new problems maybe in the United States. Some of them will be very happy to be there, but we also have the right to be recognized in our area here. I think that's important.
What I'm hearing, and I don't know if it's true or not, but the white South Africans who have moved here recently are already being discriminated against in some areas here in America. What is wrong with the blacks all over the world that they can't run anything? It's like they don't know how to build things. They don't know how to make it better. Even if they move, like they did with South Africa and they are doing in America, they're moving to white, beautiful areas, and instead of adding to it or building on it, they destroy it. And they do this all over the world. And it seems that only white people have the know-how or the talent or the love. What is wrong with the blacks that all over the world, they only destroy, they don't build? Why can't, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with the blacks?
Well, I think, you know, every nation, every people has got their issues, and people should take responsibility. I think every group of people should take responsibility for their own actions. But I think in South Africa, for us specifically, our standpoint from the beginning as Urani have been, if there are communities that are looking for solutions, that are looking to build up their community, whether that be traditional Zulus or Xhosa people, the people of Mnyameni or the Amabele or the Barulong people, if they are facing some issues in their areas and they want to build, they want to create, then they can come to Urania and look at, we will not be sharing our resources. We already pay taxes and we have too few resources even for ourselves, but we will be sharing our ideas, our plans. And but if there are communities in South Africa who wants to build, they can use our plans and they can build their spaces.
What I'm trying to understand, why is it that white people all over the world are the only race that seem to know how to, you guys are going out into an empty desert after being ran off from your own area, country there. You're going out and making a whole white city, and it's beautiful. It's already beautiful. What is wrong with black people, and why is that only white people have the talent to do this, whereas the blacks and others don't have the what happened to the blacks that they don't have the talent or the know-how to do this? What's wrong with them? They're so violent. They're so angry. They're so out of control. What's wrong with them that they can't do for themselves?
Well, I don't know the answer to that question. What I can say is the communities who want to build, who want to be constructive, Urania is willing to share our knowledge, to share our ideas.
I think there are communities in South Africa. I understand that. That white people, yeah, and the problem with white people, they're too nice. Now, you know, they're... They'll build an area, and then they tell the blacks, okay, we'll show you all how to do it. But instead of the blacks learning how to do it, they end up destroying the whites. What's wrong with the blacks that all over the world, not just in Africa, it's in America, it's in other parts of Africa, Haiti and other places. What's wrong with the blacks that they don't know how to make things happen for good? What's wrong with them?
I don't know. I suppose there are some examples of communities trying to better themselves. And
like where?
Well, the only communities that I have specific knowledge of is the Barulong people. We are very traditional communities, very, very traditional communities. They still work with the system of a chief. They work with their traditional courts, and maybe those areas are, you know, there are some development challenges in terms of infrastructure, but they seem willing to cooperate in terms of new ideas and new thinking and so on. In terms of world politics, you know, for us, going out in terms of the American situation, I don't think we are, you know, necessarily experts on that. I'm not sure exactly what's going on there and so on. But I do think that the Afrikaner people, specifically in South Africa, we have the will and the ambition to build a future. And if people want to latch onto that and use it, they're welcome. But for us, I think we've decided we will not be exploiting anyone. However, we will be creating a future for ourselves. We have the right to create the future for ourselves, right. And we will be taking upon that right. Yeah.
What? How do you feel when they call you racist and all that? Now that you have your own town, you're doing your own thing. How do you feel about the name calling? You know how they call white people racist and blah blah blah. How do you feel about the name calling now?
Well, Rani, I've been called names since the very beginning. I've received an official capacity and personally many death threats and threats of destruction and so on. I think the word racist has been so overused,
yep.
It's to an extent empty. You know, it's been used as a generic assault on people. No matter what you do, you get attacked with that word. And in Orania, I think our actions prove that we are not trying to destroy or hurt anyone. And so for that reason, and also we're not exploiting anyone, even just for cheap labor, we are not exploiting people. So the by now that empty word rolls off our backs like,
right,
you know,
on.
Water from a duck's and a goose's feathers. We can't get stuck. We can't get captivated. We can't be prisoners of a word. Although we must understand that our actions must be morally justifiable, we also understand that we will not be held hostage by people calling us things just
right
for the effect of getting certain things.
And so because of time, I had two quick questions. Number one, will white people in Iranian stop being nice? And so and don't let the blacks and others finally push their way in. Trying to be nice, and will white people not be nice?
Well, I think for us, we understand we are Christians, and we understand that there's a difference between being I almost want to say being dumb, being so open to anyone's suggestions, opinions, and habits for change that you basically let your own people go, that you basically destroy your own culture. We see that, you know, so-called niceness we see in the woke West, you know, the wokeness. So wokeness has gotten to a point in the name of niceness, in the name of doing good and doing well and being good, so-called. Everything gets destroyed, all institutions
yeah.
get killed, you know, and this woke nonsense started with a claim of good neighborliness, of tolerance. And tolerance is not a virtue. Justice is a virtue. So tolerance, just for the sake of tolerance, means nothing. For us, from a Christian base, we try to act morally. And for some people, you know, they might look at that as nice, but it's not limitless, open, uncharted so-called niceness. It is moral actions, but also rooted in the ability and the willingness to build something for your own people, which we have a right to do. And I think that is very important.
Well, don't be nice, because white Christians are always nice. And when they're nice, they get destroyed. So I got two quick questions. One from, these are from my producer. Do you ever worry about violence, a protest against the town, Orania?
Well, recently, the communist EFF party said they vowed Orania must fall, you know.
Whoa.
They vowed that, you know, Orania must be marched against, that our status must be reviewed and so on. That is nothing other than because of their own communistic failures, trying to get a new scapegoat. And the people of Orania went and met them out in another town. They did not come to Orania. And we said, listen, our community will not fall. No, we are not a community that will fall.
Hold on, buddy. Hold on.
We will stand.
I know. Hold on. I want you to give your information. Let me take a quick break. I'm sorry about that. Back in a quick moment, we're going to tell you how to get the website and everything about this town. And I'll be back in a moment. What a mess. I don't know if that
woman is making a sack. They'll make her feel good or they'll make her angry. And the woman's going to have a sack. You don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong. But do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see. But you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger. Because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end already of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday, and JLP has had a guest all first hour from South Africa, from Orania, South Africa. Shout out. And JLP will be right back with more and to your calls. There is one line open. You can call in 1-888-775-3773. Let us know if you can figure out how to call in from overseas. Skype has closed down. And we will get to your super chats as well. Tons of them. Appreciate them. But it is fake news, not fake news. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports that President Donald J. Trump has appointed Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, with an E at the end, to serve as the acting librarian of Congress. Blanche represented Trump during his 2024 criminal hush money trial, which was really an extortion of our greatest president, which ended with our greatest president being found, quote unquote, guilty on 34 so-called felony counts, which was a disgrace on the part of the so-called justice system, not on Trump. Blanche will replace that Carla Hayden woman, the first woman and the first black person to serve as librarian of Congress and our greatest. Oh, she was the former president of American Library Association. So thank you, Donald Trump, for putting in a qualified person. Nice. And speaking of Trump, Saudi Arabia. President Trump arrived in Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, R-I-Y-A-D-H. Saudi Arabia overnight on his first visit to the region during his second term. Administration officials said our greatest president hopes to spend the trip making deals with the Saudis as well as Qatar and the United Arab Emirates, UAE, that will enhance their investments in America. The U.S. has already announced $1.4 billion in $1.4 billion weapons sale to the UAE. It includes Chinook helicopters. Very cool. As well as parts and support for F-16 fighter jets. Nice. Today, Trump is attending a more formal arrival ceremony with the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Nice. Eating lunch with the CEOs of Amazon, Nvidia, Google, Boeing, and Tesla. Attending bilateral meetings, and then taking part in an agreement signing of the royal court. Despite what the white on the inside White House is calling an historic return to the Middle East, a visit to Israel is not in the itinerary. Nice. And South Africa. Speaking of South Africa, beautiful, at least once beautiful, South Africa. Dozens of white South Africans granted refugee status by our greatest president Trump's administration for what they call alleged discrimination. It's not just alleged, it's proven and seen over and over again. Arrived in the United States on Monday, Deputy Secretary of State Christopher Landau, L-A-N-D-A-U, met with the 59 Afrikaners at Washington International Airport in Virginia, claiming they had been subject to various serious, egregious, and targeted threats, and likened them to quality seeds that would hopefully bloom, or who would hopefully bloom in America. And I think they will. They looked like decent, upstanding Christian pro-American South African natives. However, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa claimed that he told our greatest president that the persecution of the white minority group was not true. Of course, he has to say that. Typical. They're leaving ostensibly because they don't want to embrace the changes that are taking place. Change. Remember Obama changed the country for the worse in America? That are taking place in our country in accordance with our Constitution. So claimed Cyril Ramaphosa. The administration has expedited the processing of Afrikaners as refugees and suspended all other refugee resettlement, including for people fleeing war and famine. I'm James Hake.
Amazing. I'm talking to Joster Stratum. Jost Stratum. And he is the CEO of Orania South Africa, a brand new, not quite brand new, but a whole new white area built by whites, made for whites. And it's amazing. I'm so happy about it because it's time that white people start standing up. You know what I mean? Be alpha males, not bad. So I'm holding him over just a few minutes because I wanted to give out his information. We talked for an hour. I knew it would be good, and I knew it would go on forever and ever, but we can't go on ever and ever. So, Jost, have you ever been to America?
I've been there only 2 months ago for the first time. It was a good experience. Visited some places there. Had a fantastic reception at the New York Young Republicans, which gave us the opportunity to tell the story of Orania as well. They gave us a stage there, and many people showed up to listen, to hear about Orania. People were quite excited, so that was fantastic.
And so if my organization come to Orania, would you let us in?
You are most welcome to visit Orania, definitely.
Nice. But I want to warn you, and when you get home, you tell all the white people, do not let the blacks in. Really. I don't care what they say, how they act, or whatever. Do not let them in. Blacks are not allowed to stay there, right? They can't move in.
Orania is a community exclusively for Afrikaners.
Right on.
Because it's the only place we really have left in South Africa, you know, as a people, as a nation in own right. We are more than just, white. We are also a culture, a distinct group of people with a distinct history and religion and a freedom strive. And that is who we built for.
Right on.
We encourage others to use our plan, but Orania specifically, that's for the Afrikaner Boer people.
Right on. Keep it that way. And so I asked before, and I'm going to have to let you go after this, what's wrong with the blacks? Why are they so angry? Why are they so out of control? Why is it that they only destroy and not build?
Well, what we see, for example, with the economic freedom fighters, which is the Black Nationalist Communist Marxist Party in South Africa, demanding Orania must fall. They only do this to cover up the fact that they have not built schools that they've promised for their voters.
Yeah.
They have not built anything of substance, and for that reason, they must blame Orania. So we reacted to that. We told these people who marched saying Orania must cease to exist. We said we will not cease to exist. We will stand. They say Orania must fall. We say we will not fall. We will stand because we will stand on our culture. We will stand for our people. We will stand for our Christian religion, and we will stand for a free future for our people. We will stand. And that was our reaction. And that is what we will continue to do, no matter how much these communists screech about Urania and go on and organize all kinds of protests. We will continue to build our focus while they march in protest. The communists, we march to work.
I know.
That is how we will continue to conduct ourselves here.
And do you have your own police force there in Urania?
We do. We created in South Africa, there's a very big private security sector. So it gave us the legal right to create a professional group, including full-time members and volunteers, all made out of Urania's population of Afrikaner people. We are registered, so it's professional, it's legal, it's accredited, and they are giving a phenomenal service here in the town with the work that they do, both internal public order, but also protecting us from any external threats.
And do you guys have an anthem yet?
A what?
Anthem.
Oh, yes, recently. That's a very interesting question because we created our own anthem and it was published beginning of this year. It's called The Call of Urania in Afrikaans, Die Roepstem van Urania, which puts specific emphasis on our history, on our religion, and on our willingness to build.
Amazing. Do you know Chief Buthelezi?
Yes, yes, we do know about him, and we've had contact with him in the past when he was still alive.
He's dead now?
Yes, he is.
He was a Christian, right?
Yes, yes, as far as I know, yes.
And from what I was told by him, he was hated by Nelson Mandela and the ANC, and they always fought because he was a Christian, Nelson Mandela was not, and they didn't get along that well.
They did not, and there was an ugly war. You know, the current ANC government showed its roots back then. There's a good documentary, Tainted Hero, showing how the ANC went out to kill people who opposed their government, black people. So the ANC government went out, they killed people in horrendous ways, including necklacing, which is putting a tire around the neck and lighting it on fire, and some horrible things happen that's never spoken about.
Yeah.
And the ANC is treated like they're some kind of saints, but that's not the truth. They've done ugly things.
Well, congratulations for starting your own town, and I really wish you guys well. I'm warning you, do not let the blacks in. I don't care how Christian they are, how nice they seem to be, or whatever, don't let them in. It'll be a horrible mistake. Tell the folks how to get whatever information you want to put out there.
Thank you very much. Anyone that want to check out our webpage, it's www.urania.co.za. If you want to help us build infrastructure, create a future for our people here, there is a donation link. If you want to donate to our cause, you're more than welcome. So we will spend the money on safety and security. We will spend it on equipment for things like firefighting. Everything here we have to do ourselves. No one is coming to help us. We will do it to build infrastructure, to build an economy, to help the kids in the schools, and to help poor people for housing because the government is rejecting them. So those are the ways that people can contribute to Urania, and to the growth of Urania, the defense of Urania, and building out this community so that others can follow suit.
Pardon, was that a domain name? You said www.urania what?
Yes, so it's www.urania.co.za.
Thank you.
Is that clear now?
Yeah, I think that should be clear for our viewers too.
Repeat it.
Urania.co.za or ZA for our international people.
That is correct.
That's correct. Amazing. Well, you have made my day. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for giving us a stage while the world denies us the opportunity to speak about the things happening here. I appreciate the opportunity to speak freely.
Absolutely, and we will have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Amazing. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go to the busy phones. Let me go to Phoenix, Arizona, and talk to Keaton. Keaton, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Thanks for holding. Keegan?
Conversation with the South African guy.
Keegan?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can now. Welcome to the show. Are you on Bluetooth or something?
Oh, would you like me to put it closer to my ear just so I can read this? I just had this idea I wanted to run by you.
Okay.
That I think God loves internet trolling and uses it to create beautiful things in society. God loves internet trolling. He kind of uses it to make everyone smarter. It's the smartest type of comedy, the trolling aspect of comedy. And it's the rabble-rousers like yourself, the agitators, the high-level agitators like yourself, Jesse, that they keep us going.
Amazing. And,
I wanted to ask, who are two or three high-level troll HLT revolutionaries that are near and dear to you?
I can't think of one because I don't pay attention to trolls and all that. So I don't really understand that. So I'm not able to respond to that because I have nobody in mind right now. What did you think about that interview with the guy from South Africa right now?
So it's sort of just a synonym for agitator. You had brought up in that interview how you asked him about the name calling, right?
Yes.
And so that's a big part of it. Like, people have to accept that these words are not as powerful as you think. It's just trolling. As long as it's not violent and for a cause that God supports, like what you're doing. I do consider you to be a high-level troll, sir. That's a good thing.
Well, and you write about word. Word is just a word. And if people were not, if they were not emotional, if they didn't have an ego, they would not be affected by words at all. But their words hurt their egos, and they think that they're being hurt by words when it's not. Keisha, let me ask, and then I got to run, and you waited so long. I do appreciate that. What's wrong with the blacks?
Well, it could be a matter of the blacks, or it could be a matter of that just the community you were among that you noticed it in. But it all comes down to that word thing. If you get upset over words, which blacks are one to do, it's possible that it's more in that community. I have not seen the numbers, but it's definitely possible.
Oh, amazing.
It's a matter of fixing this issue of getting upset over words.
Yeah.
You're one of the few people who are saying that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much, buddy. He's right. You got to overcome words. When you overcome thoughts and emotions, you will overcome words. A word is just a word. And white people have been manipulated and controlled by that word for 70 years or so now. And look what it has done to my country. Let me go to Michael, a first-time caller out of Florida. Michael, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate everything you do.
Thank you.
My question for you is, I wanted to know what you think that we could do to bring together everyone united under this nation and drop the pretenses of race relations and diversity and issues that they're causing rifts between the different classes that could all unite us under one word, under God, that could bring us all together, that would, you know, disprove all the fallacies that they put out there in the media. Because honestly, I believe all they do is try to create these different sections for all of us.
Absolutely. They do. And they do it for the money and the power, not that they care about the people. It's not going to happen, Michael. It's never going to happen in my country and around the world. But in my country, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. You can never bring everyone together as one, because in order for that to happen, you have to change the heart of the person. The heart is wicked. Anyone that has anger is evil. And that's, most people love their anger, they love their misery, and they're not going to change, so it's not going to happen. And
that's so true.
And what's happening in America right now, it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. But if you overcome the heart problem, dropping anger, and live your real life with perfect love, you'll be fine. But you're never going to be able to bring everybody together as one. That's not going to happen.
No, you're definitely right about that. But I also feel like that people have the ability to set aside those issues and come together with ideas.
But they don't want that. Most people in government, entertainment, regular folks, even in your own family, they don't want to come together and put together ideas and make things happen because their hearts are wicked. They're evil or they can't help themselves. They love the thrill of fighting. They love the thrill of judging. They love the thrill of fear. They love the thrill of doubt and anxiety. And so they work overtime to maintain the thrill. They don't want to get rid of those thrills, so it's never going to change for most people.
Yeah. I noticed that a lot of people, they like to cause drama just so they have something going on.
All for the thrill. All for the ego.
Like people in my family have threatened to disown me based on my beliefs.
Absolutely. And when they do that, when they threaten to disown you, just say, okay, bye. You don't need them, so let them go. Because when they're threatening you, what they're telling you is that they are your enemy. And so they're showing you the signs. Most people miss the signs. And the signs are always there, but don't miss the sign. When they say, when they talk about you, when they don't want to hang out with you, when they do all kind of stuff, I will urge you to get away from them because they will destroy you. They are evil.
You are correct. And I believe that a lot of people use emotion to try to justify their reasoning. And they're not using facts, and they just accept what they take in on the mainstream media. They're not really trying to hear what your opinion is on something, even if it's something that, you know, you strongly believe in.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Totally, like, already have their minds made up.
And they don't want the truth. They reject the truth. They hate the truth. And in return, if you're working on returning to the truth, you'll become an enemy. So be careful with your family members, too.
Yeah, I've definitely been keeping them all, like, at an arm's length or, like, away from me because a lot of the people I know are so that they just believe everything that they see on the television.
Yeah.
To where it becomes fact. And then they're living a delusion.
Absolutely. Amazing, huh? Thank
you. You are definitely one of my favorite people. I just want you to know that, and I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your call.
Nothing but love for you and your show. Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, buddy. Call me again.
Have a good one.
All right. Amazing. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super.
Nice. Over on YouTube yesterday, Uncle Ruckus says, Menstrual Mondays, he calls it, are always full of crying men.
Rainy days and Mondays always build me up.
Indeed. Shout out.
Thank you. Shout out.
He also says, he says, what's wrong with the raccoon smoking meth? Asks Uncle Ruckus.
Amazing. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know what you mean, but okay.
Jonathan says, my wife loved
hold
her.
Hold on a minute. Yeah. Say what, Derek? Oh, Derek talking from my ear. He said that's a video of a raccoon with a meth pipe or something like that. So uh-huh. he may be referring to that. Thank you, Derek. Amazing.
Jonathan, my wife loved her amazing Mother's Day cameo from JLP. Thank you.
Nice. I do cameos for anybody around the world. Birthday shout-outs, wedding shout-outs, personal cameos, right? Shout-outs. Congratulations shout-outs, encouragement shout-outs. Go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, cameo.com facebook.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Also, we have the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I do it myself by phone, Skype, or walk-in. So if you family, individual counseling, if you need or want counseling, you may not even need more than one session. A lot of people like to do follow-ups, but you may only need one session of counseling, right, if you're ready to overcome. So go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663, to make an appointment. And be patient, because we were like, booked. I counsel so much, I'm like, what the? So if someone cancels them, we'll let you know. So be patient if we can't get you right in. All right. Thank you.
Uncle Ruckus, I didn't stab anyone. Homeboy just fell on my black knife 27 times, says Uncle Ruckus.
What a mess.
He also says, we are all poor, Jesse.
We're all poor?
That's what he claims.
Think about this. I don't know what you mean by that. So I might be overstated here because I don't know what you mean by it. God on the whole universe, right? And he owned the finance as well. He owned the money. Think about that. Oh, amazing. Thank you.
Nice. Madeline, three coffees. Good morning, JLP team. A few weeks clean from my anxiety medication. Last night was the return of the panic attacks. These attacks come out of nowhere. They make me feel like I'm suffocating. I knew evil spirits were fighting in my soul. I read the Bible for a while and focused on being present with God. After a few hours, I was able to sleep. God is good.
Who is that?
Madeline.
Right on, Madeline.
Cool.
And so, Madeline, listen. Amazing advice. The next time that happens, and it will, let it overwhelm you. Let it make you so afraid you want to cry. Let it make you so depressed and anxiety and worry you want to just holler. Feel it, live with it, sleep with it, walk with it. Let it happen. And you're going to find out if you go through this, because you got to go through hell to get to heaven. Ain't no way around it. If you want to get to heaven, you got to go through hell. And so what's happening is you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going through hell. Let yourself go through hell, screaming and crying, however you want to do it. But let it happen, and it will pass, and heaven is right there. But you got to, in order to enter into paradise, the kingdom of heaven, another whole world, a real world. You got to go through the dark, fake world, and that is the ego nature. Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. And that reminds me, Thursday night, we have the latest form at 7 p.m. Come on down, ladies, Pacific time. Nice.
Very nice. Also on punchy.tv.
Punchy! Didn't we just have a brand new episode of that?
We had an episode of Punchy TV, not to be confused with the webpage, punchy.tv, where you can watch all the shows live.
This is the episode we had yesterday, right? Did y'all do a new one?
Yeah, we played a episode. We premiered
yesterday.
A Monday episode yesterday, indeed.
Watch this from Punchy TV.
Do you think that all that is going on today is God's doing?
I don't know what God's playing. It don't look good.
Yeah, right now we have this morality of don't ever say the N-word.
Right.
Anyone who says the N-word is racist.
Right.
And nothing's worse than a racist.
When you do put morality into things, it does make it very hard not to judge.
When I don't think about the religions as truly representing God, when I don't think of the politics and nations as truly representing morality, when it's just systems and people, it makes sense. Morality is just the ideology of a ruling class.
That episode played yesterday, and it was amazing. Check it out, punchy.tv.
Nice.
Amazing.
And on punchy.tv, Jim in Alaska says, good morning, great fellowship yesterday, meaning Sunday. Hearing other people's struggles helps us understand what we go through is nothing new, and we all deal with evil every day.
Absolutely. Every human being, there's not one that get past this. But there are those, a handful, that overcome this. But every human being have the same problem. Different situation, but the same problem. They are of evil, and they have refused to return to good. You must, everybody that's born of the woman, born of the flesh, men and women, must be born of the spirit. Amazing, huh? Stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Amazing. Thank you.
Someone bought 8 coffees.
Nice. Thank you.
I've been following your advice half a year. Went and forgave my parents, doing silent prayer every morning. Not every night. Big smile.
Man.
But recently I hit a wall.
That's why.
I come to realize I don't know anything. Don't know my name. Don't know my age. Sometimes I forget that I'm in a body. Can't overcome this hopeless feeling. Intellectually, I understand I'm nothingness. But being that feels unbearable. Will it ever get better, or is it peace that I was seeking?
If you stay with it, and go through that hopeless feeling, you're going to see that hopeless feeling was just an illusion too. The real you has never have, never will have, ain't going to have, can't have a hopeless feeling. It's the fake you. All the problems that you're having, which seem to be problems, it's happening to the not you. It's happening to the ego nature. Is not happening to you. So stay with it, all right? And don't call it you. And let whatever happened to the ego nature, let it happen. And you're going to see it's not happening to you, and it will disappear. Amazing. Thank you.
J.O., how does one come back?
Back!
To the fathered. If the father is on drugs, a criminal, and living on the street.
By forgiving him. When you're not angry at your earthly father, because you're never going to know your spiritual father, God, until you love your earthly father, your real daddy. Forgive him. As you cannot help yourself, he can help himself. His mother did to him exactly what your mother done to you. Men and women, forgive your mothers, forgive your father, and when you forgive your father, that's what it means to return to your earthly father, is by forgiving him, because he may be a beta, alcoholic, whatever you want to call him, but he's still a son of God. He's just a lost son. He just walked away from the house into an unconscious state. So forgive him, and that you don't need to hang out with him. You don't need to call him. You don't need to give him your money and all that. Just don't resent him. But as long as you have anger toward your earthly father, anybody, anywhere in the world, as long as you have anger against your earthly father, and that's what your mother wants you to have, she wants you to be angry like she's angry, but as long as you hurt your earthly father, you would never know God. You can hang it up. You can read the Bible. You can pray. You can go down and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And quote the Bible and go to church and lift up holy hands. As long as you hate your earthly father, you never will love God. Ain't no connection. You won't connect. Amazing. Stay with it. Forgive. Amazing.
Someone bought a coffee. Why does it seem like the spiritual curse of the blacks is worse than it is for the whites?
That's a good question, because 70 years of generations of black people, evil has been passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. And they are only getting worse because there is no love passed down from generation to generation, only hate. Anger is hatred. Hatred is evil. And that's why they've gotten worse. They have no love. And it starts in the home. And then it is encouraged by their black government and liberal white government. They keep giving them new laws and programs. They're keeping them in a state of anger. And that's why I'm warning the black white people, y'all better be trying to build a quiet town somewhere, because the blacks are not going to get better. Some will, and some are, because they are forgiving their mothers and their fathers. But most will not. And white people, they're coming for you. Bank on it. Thank you.
A very generous super from Jamie J. Jesse, I'm concerned that you used to declare the Christian faith without reservation in your earlier radio career. Now it seems you've adopted more of an Oprah viewpoint that all religions are the same. Jesus is either Lord or he isn't.
Jesus is the Son of the Father, and Jesus is not in religion. God is not in religion. They have nothing to do with it at all, and that's why religion doesn't work. Jesus made it clear, you should worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Look how messed up religion is, because when you get become part of a religion, you own it. You call it ownership, and then a war starts. You own nothing. And when you own nothing, you love all, and you're free. Religion just lets you know I'm a member of that group, but that's not what God is. Thank you. I got to take a break. Right back in a moment. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. So listen up. Welcome back. I need you all to go and make a donation. We got to pay some bills. We got to pay the employees. We got to pay the lights and the gas. And if I don't remind you or ask you, some of you won't give. But when I remind you, then you do. We need to raise some money. Go right now. Hurry. Make a donation to bondrebuildingtheman.com/donate. Or call 800-411-BOND, all right? I know you've been helped, and you don't think, well, let me help this man to help others. I know you got bills to pay and all that. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And if you like a copy, we have brand-new copy. A newsletter just went out. Our spring edition. If you like a free copy, because it is free, even though we had to pay, nothing's free, right? You like a copy of it, go to RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-BOND and request a copy of our free newsletter. It's an amazing newsletter. Really, it's amazing. And also, check out our merch, DestinyLeePeterson.shop. My own coffee now, Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee. Did you imagine that? And it is good. Amazing merch and everything. So all this goes back to help us to help others. Get the bills paid and all that kind of stuff. JesseLeePeterson.shop. And the latest form Thursday night, ladies, the 15th, May 15th. I can't believe that we're that deep into May already. But every Thursday night, for ladies only. For ladies only. Let me go, and then I will go back to the Super Chat. Oh, let me ask you, Hank. I had this amazing conversation with one of the CEOs of Orania.
Something like that.
O-R-A-N-I-A?
Yeah.
South Africa. And Orania, for those who don't know, is an area there where white people have built, they are building there because they ran, they had to get out of South Africa, that city part. The black people took over and they destroyed it. And so the white people had to run, and now they're starting their own area. They have their own laws, they have their own money, they have their own government, they have their armed police force, and you cannot live there if you're black. You cannot go in. Isn't that beautiful? I had an amazing discussion with, how do you say his name? Yost.
Yost, which is spelled J-O-O-S-T.
No, Y-O-A-S-T.
No. You're just, that's just
oh,
how
no,
it's,
right. Yeah.
That's J-O-S-T. Just how it's pronounced.
Yeah. They had to help me pronounce it.
Yeah. Yost Stridom.
Yeah.
S-T-R-Y-D-O-M.
It was a fascinating discussion. To the point, we went an hour, and then I had to talk to him a few more minutes in the second hour. What did you think of that discussion?
It was cool. They're living what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And they are executing what you're talking about, and they are so, like, self-sufficient, peaceful. Yeah.
That's what white people do.
Crime-free, basically. There's a little bit of crime. There's, right. You know, the few,
a little ego crime.
Yeah. A few years ago, there was a suicide.
Yeah.
There was a, and there's, like, some petty stuff. But they are just functional and civilized, and it's beautiful.
But this is the way white people function. And America used to be this way.
And it's interesting how the media... Democrats, the
blacks,
leadership over there,
black leader,
just poo-poo the situation of the Afrikaners.
Yeah,
they just lie about it.
Amazing,
because they hate white people. It's so interesting to me.
It's mind blowing to me how much white people hate it.
Yeah,
It's mind blowing to me how much white people hate it for no reason at all. And how white people can build. You know, they left everything they had and gave it to the blacks, went out into the farmland, and the blacks followed them out there to rob, rape, and steal. And so they said, okay, we're going to build our own town. We're going to have our own laws, our own everything. That's amazing that white people function that way.
And so those Afrikaners,
yeah,
they are descended from the Dutch. Is that what it is?
That
and they went and founded South Africa way hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
And turned it from a desert, mostly uninhabited, into very habitable. And now it's being overrun and destroyed by just people who weren't even originally there.
Just like America.
Yeah.
And they done that in Europe. White people were in charge of Europe at one time, right?
Yeah. But those whites are less sensible than these whites. But there are many whites, Afrikaners, who are against these guys. They're against the refugees. They fall for the fake racism lie. They're liberals.
A liberal white?
Even though they see what's going on. Even the blacks know what's going on. I remember seeing these two black guys talking on a show, and they're saying, it's embarrassing that all of South Africa is blacked out. Except for Iran is lit up with that light area because they're getting their self-sufficient power.
Yes.
I remember Cape Town was running out of water a few years ago.
They had to run water into Iranian.
Yeah.
They had no water there because of dry land, desert.
That is impressive.
White people are mean, huh?
Yeah, indeed.
I remember they interviewed a white woman that lived in Iranian. And they said, and she's like, no, we're not racist. We don't care. Do what you want. And they asked her something like, well, could black people come live here? She's like, no. They nice. Can't live here.
Right.
And she said, they asked, well, would you ever marry a black man? And she said, I'd never say no. If it happened, it would happen. And he asked, well, if you marry a black man, how are you going to be with him if he can't live in Iranian? He like, well, we'll have to move out of Ronnie. I have to move to where he is.
That's an interesting situation.
Blacks are not allowed.
Yeah.
That's so remarkable to me. And it's about time.
Yeah. It's just, it's common sense that's been lost.
Yes.
And people think, oh, it's terrible. It's sad. It's not sad.
You're supposed to protect yourself physically.
You can still go outside the city and interact if you want.
That's right. You can play with them.
Yeah. But what then you got to go home.
That's right. It's midnight. Go home. What do you think about Anchor Baby, that interview?
Amazing, the whole thing. You've been saying this, you know? It's just you've been saying this over and over, and it's literally happening. I don't think people even now still think that it could turn into South Africa. It could. You could have law, race-based laws, 142 race-based laws, whatever he said.
We got all those kind of laws happening right here, right now.
You know, I played this clip of this liberal white Afrikaner who was poo-pooing the the refugees. I don't like the word, but I don't know what other word to use. It has an H at the end. But anyway, he was like, we're 7% of the population. He said we, but we control 70% of the wealth. That just speaks to how enterprising and good they are with their life and money.
Yes.
But he chalked it up to privilege. But it's the privilege of having good sense and being raised better.
Yeah.
Per capita.
That's so unfortunate. Yes, Anchor Baby.
Oh.
Okay. It was amazing. Amazing discussion in the first hour. Make sure you podcast that, all right? Podcast that. Did you want more Super Chats or anything?
Yes, please, because we have tons and don't want to get to as many as possible.
Yeah, and then I get to the call. Super Chat.
Ham Solo on Pilled.net. How do you do, sir? Welcome to Pilled ML07.
Hello, Pill. P-I-L-L-E-D.
And 07 looks like a O, like a person's head, and a 7 looks like he's saluting.
Right.
Cornerstone Media Consulting says, Mamma mia, si, senor, gracias.
Thank you, and thank you for your support. Gracias.
That's Cash App, Bond JLP on Cash App.
Gracias.
Uncle Ruckus, that woman's man, that TikTok woman's man, caller, watching this smiley emoji.
Amazing.
Lori, 5 coffees. Amen to fellowship. Lots of truth. Thank you. Biblical question answer about this week.
What would happen if you came out of your movie?
She says, if I came out of my movie, I can see what's really going on and be in reality.
I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday. Thank you. Amazing.
Uncle Ruckus' $400 million plane has to be bugged.
I thought about that, too. Saudi Arabia gave the Great White Hope a brand new plane, and it's beautiful. But I'm sure the Great White Hope is going to have that plane look up and down before he even get near it.
I think that was Qatar. Qatar.
Yeah, somebody over there.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Saudi Arabia and Qatar?
I don't know. I just know they're 2 different countries.
Really?
Yeah, the Saudis, many Saudis were involved in 9/11, I heard. Shout out.
Okay.
And then many Qataris. Qatar funds many people who are in the media.
The Democrats are jealous of the airplane.
I know. Trump is ushering in many blessings upon America, and they're mad about it.
He's over there right now.
I know.
And he come back with a bag full of cookies.
Indeed.
Bag full of them. How does Saudi Arabia get so much money? And they live in a desert.
I think
they don't
must be
even
white.
Wear real clothes. They wear rags.
Right.
Why can't they have all that money? They can't afford a pants and a shirt.
They like that look.
Oh, they do?
I guess.
Or maybe for the heat.
It's old school. Oh, yeah, could be.
Maybe because of the heat over there.
Kale says,
thank you.
When you ask people who they are,
ask!
What do you mean by the word who?
Who
when
mean,
you say who are you?
Who mean who? Amazing. I mean, it mean who? What does the word who mean?
I don't know. I don't know how to break it down any further.
Me either. All I know is it mean who. What the?
Because I almost want to say what, but what is not quite right.
It's who?
Mada.
Thank you.
Mada. Keep it up, Hakesta. Thank you, sir. Or ma'am.
Thank you.
Kale, now a member on JLP Show.
Cool. Right on. Thank you.
Lin Yenshin, Larry is 66 in age, but lower in IQ. Larry called you yesterday.
Amazing.
I think he's the one who said that you have a habit of...
that guy.
Of putting down black people. Oh, he doesn't appreciate it.
And he didn't know who he was.
Right.
Larry, I remember now. Thank you.
Great call. Shout out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shout
out Lin Yenshin as well.
Yeah.
Moozer asks on X, is Mother's Day an evil holiday to worship the devil?
No, Mother's Day is a commercial day. A day for the companies to make buku money off flour, restaurants to make a lot of money, kids who hate their parents go and lick their boots and stuff like that. Amazing. Thank you.
A very generous 10 coffees from Hannes. Amazing. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome. Thank you for your support.
3 coffees from Eric. Broad is the path, narrow is the way. Only a few will get in. Are you doing the silent prayer? Well, stay in your hell then, JLP.
Amazing. That verse is so powerful, it's not even funny, now that I understand it. Only a few is going to get on that stream path and stay there. Many will even get on it and get off. Many will get on it and they have gotten off, but don't know that they have gotten off. It's so amazing to me. But I encourage you to get on if you want and stay there no matter what. Stay there, stay, stay, stay. Thank you.
KB in Ohio, 3 coffees. Jesse, I die laughing every time you tell that Rosa Parks story. I'm so tired. Lord, have mercy. Love you so much. Maybe one day the blacks will eventually wake up. LOL.
Amazing. They act like Rosa Parks coming home from work one day, and all of a sudden she's so tired, she didn't even want to walk to the back of the bus.
They say she and her husband had a car.
They didn't tell you it was a setup between Rosa and the NAACP. My feet hurt. I mean, up there clean that white lady house all day.
I feel you, Rosa.
And take care of the white lady children. I ain't walking to no back of no bus. Look at that way back there. To the back of the bus.
You know that classic picture of her?
Yeah.
That was just she was posing.
It was all stage.
And that was a photographer.
Yeah. It was just a stage. The human heart is evil. Human beings are evil. And as soon as you realize, you can overcome it. Amazing. Thank you.
Cody, 3 coffees. I'm a huge fan of your show. Recently, a challenging moment when my kid's mother undermined my authority in front of them. I waited till the kids were out of earshot. Then I lashed out with anger, snapping at her in a way that felt like the old me. I feel like this action by her sends a message to my kids that my parental authority is diminished and near non-existence. Hashtag not a beta male, he says. He says, I worked hard to maintain peace and zen over the past few years. This moment pulled me back or reacted before I knew it. How would you advise handling this kind of situation?
Good question. The mother is doing that in front of your children and you to undermine them and to turn them against you. That's why she's always jumping in like that. Next time she does it, stay calm and correct her right in front of the children. They say, hey, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to my children. Stay out of this. Well, I don't need you to tell them, oh, yeah, do what daddy said. You correct the mother with patience, meaning don't be angry, but you correct her with a stern and firm grip, meaning tell her how the cow ate the cabbage, but don't be angry. And the kids will love you for it because they will see that the mother's trying to turn them against you. So don't wait until the kids leave the room. You correct the mother right in front of the children. She goes, oh, you're embarrassing me. You can't do that in front of me. No, yes, you can. Because what she's doing is evil. Correct her. Amazing, but stay calm.
That's cool that you point out that she's undermining the kids, yeah. Not the father.
No, she's undermining the kids, turning them against you. Amazing.
Nice. Also, on pilled.net, just Revs gifted a cookie, says, looks all right. The stream is good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Right on.
Zwek, or Shwek, X UEQ. Larry disabled. He ain't going to work a job, Jesse.
How come all the blacks are disabled? What the? Not all, but most.
And Shrek, pardon me if I'm butchering your name, also says, I just want to hear Jesse say Nicaragua today.
Have you been to Nicaragua lately? I got to stop the hate.
We'll read the rest later. Stop.
I will get you some calls. Thank you all.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, right?
Yeah, close enough.
Am I saying it right?
Nope.
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
Oh, Nicaragua.
There you go. That's all much
right
better.
On. Nicaragua.
Thank you.
Nice. Let me go to first time calling out of Canada, Mike. Mike, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, Jesse. I'm actually glad that I'm able to talk to you. The reason why I called today is about forgiveness.
Yes.
About myself, though, I'm a white male, and my kids are half black. I'm also a retired law enforcement officer. So I see a kind of a bit of a spectrum of what you're talking about, but I also see it in a different perspective. Now, getting to the forgiveness, I don't know how I came across your channel like a few years ago when I heard your prayers like forgiving your mother. For me, I thought that was kind of ridiculous. You know, like I've had a troubled past, which you've heard the stories many times before. And for me, it was like forgiveness was never an option. But I think when I watched you a few years ago, your words planted a seed in me. I finally forgave my mom. I actually sent her an email because it was easier for me to do that. And what I realized, it took me a couple of days afterwards. I used to think of forgiveness as like forgiving her, like letting her off the hook. But once I forgave her, that's like a couple of days later, it's like that's when I realized the forgiveness, it was actually for me.
Yes.
I was able to let go of so much stuff over a couple of days. It's like this peace that came over me. And as a retired law enforcement officer, I retired with PTSD. So my head goes kind of interesting at times. And sleep has been an issue for decades. My sleep over these past little while has been phenomenal. So I want to thank you for your words. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. You're absolutely right about forgiveness. Forgiveness set the person who has the anger free. It's not from the person that you're forgiven. It's for you. And if you stay with it, Mike, it can only and will only get better for you. Everything will fall away that's been holding you in captivity. It will all fall away. You will have a clear mind, and you will have perfect peace for the rest of your life. If you stay with it.
Yeah, like I said, it's like the thought of forgiveness never, ever entered my mind. Never. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But I didn't understand yeah. the power of forgiveness and the peace within me. It's like, it's almost like I have the power to let it go when I forgive.
Yes, absolutely. We have, as sons and daughters of God, we have power in us, the same power that Christ had. We have power and authority in us that we don't even know about. And you're not going to discover it until you drop the anger, because anyone that has anger is separated from perfect peace from God. And so you have power. Stay with it, man. You're on your way.
Thank you very much, Jesse. Have a good day. Thank you for being you.
You're welcome, and thank you, man. A perfect talk. Thank you. Wow.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Forgiveness is not like, oh, I forgive you, you stole my watch. No, I'm sorry for hating you. I'm sorry, mother, for being angry at you. Dad, for being angry. Anger is hatred. They just use the word anger to make it sound a little better, but it's hatred. And you're separated from yourself. I got to take a break. Manhood hour. No, it's not. This is Tuesday, right? Yeah. I got one more hour to go when I come back straight to your calls and whatever. Hate news, not the fake news. And I'll be back in a moment. Ladies, same thing for you. Drop your anger. Forgive your mothers. Back in a moment.
you know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. Some good things too, though. Shout out. This is the end of our... Oh, let me just tell you a couple of things that are going on. Trump is lowering the drug prices. And Texas abortion is banned. And they're coming up with some drama sob story about it. Commie Nonsense Network. Psh. And the sea levels are rising. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Country and Western Tuesday, May 13th, AD 2025. The lines are full. You can call in. You can try calling in every so often just in case one of those lines opens up, okay? But hang tight, callers. JLP will be back for the third hour of the show coming right up. It is Hake News, not fake news. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, the Hake Report, and then Joelle Friday TV, and then American Anchor Baby. And by the way, ladies, in 2 days, on the third night, will be the Women's Forum. RebuildingTheMan.com/events for ladies only, 7 p.m. at Bond in Los Angeles, the third Thursday of the month. That's May 15th, 2025, A.D., the year of our Lord. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports, our greatest president, Trump, signed an EO, executive order, Monday, said he said, will it lower the drug prices in the United States based on the cost of certain medicines on their prices in other countries? Trump directed the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, to come up with price targets within 30 days and ordered drug makers to start offering U.S. patients lowest price paid for the drug in a peer country. Peers, you know. If drug manufacturers do not lower prices, the executive order outlined some potential ramifications. Is this socialism? Including allowing more drug imports and having the FDA modify or revoke approvals granted for drugs that may be unsafe, ineffective, or improperly marked. Unclear what authority Trump has to demand certain prices, particularly when in the private market, all of a sudden, Commie Nonsense concerned about the private market. It's also unknown when or if Americans will see lower prices. And Texas abortion. Speaking of so-called health, the fate of a woman suffering from a miscarriage, supposedly, may depend not just on the state where she lives, but the location of the hospital she visits. Texas enacted their abortion law in 2021, banning the procedure of killing the baby in the womb and removing it, even in pregnancies that were no longer viable, so claims Commie Nonsense, if you believe them. The state of Texas also threatened to imprison doctors and punish hospitals for providing such what they call care. Killing the babies is caring, they say, unless it was a life-threatening emergency. Since then, medical personnel have been restricted from helping women who were miscarrying until they could figure out a way to document that the patients were in mortal peril. Now, a new analysis by ProPublica, more like pro-abortica, right? No, I don't know. Showed that where the hospitals were located often determined if those women ended up suffering from sepsis, a life-threatening reaction to infection. Sepsis cases across Texas shot up more than 50%. Is that because these doctors are being just stubborn and liberal and trying to be maliciously compliant, undermining the health of the women just for to be pro-abortion propaganda? I don't know. Women lost their pregnancies in the second trimester after the state enacted their abortion ban. When these women went to hospitals, these supposed women, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where doctors were empowered to intervene before it was too late, that number dropped to 29%. Whereas in Houston, where hospitals' legal departments had advised doctors to delay treatment till they could document a serious infection, the sepsis rate surged to 63%. What a mess, huh? Drama. Commie Nonsense Network CNN reports the sea levels are rising. The pace of the global sea level rise is accelerating. Oh, no. And the U.S. is hindering scientists' ability to track it. According to NASA, which does not mean lies, analysis of satellite data, the annual rate has more than doubled over the past 30 years due to climate change. Here's why: the oceans absorb roughly 90% of the excess heat primarily produced by burning what they call fossil fuels. All bunch of commie nonsense. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour 3.
Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own. What are you doing over there when we need them over here? Amazing. Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. But also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. It's Tuesday. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. My biblical question, brand new biblical question. What should happen, what would happen if I came out of, no, what would happen if you came out of your movie? What would happen if you came out of your movie? Think about that. And again, these questions are for those men and women who want to overcome their fallen state. It's not for everybody. I understand that. I accept that. No problem. Stay in your thrills. Stay in your misery. It's not for you. It's only for those who want to be free, who want to come out of prison. Amazing. If you're busy running around doing what you're doing, building your all-white town in South Africa, whatever you're doing, you could be doing this while you're building or taking your kids to the public school because you don't want to stay home and raise them. The thrill is not there as it is at work. Whatever it may be, you can be listening to the show live. You can podcast, but you can be listening as it is happening on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. It's the third hour on Tuesday. And every Tuesday is Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back my country to me. Bring back my country.
What the? Who let the dogs out? Amazing. Amazing. Amazing.
Who let the dogs out? White South Africans are arriving in the United States of America. When the last time you heard anything like that? Everybody's coming here but white people. And the people who are coming here hate America. They come here, they turn on America, they bring their Mexican flag, their Allahu Akbar flags, everything but the American flag. And they let everybody in but white people. Thank God for Donald Trump. There are some white people coming home to their own country. NBC News is reporting. A group of white South Africans arrived near D.C. on a State Department chartered plane and will be resettled as U.S. refugees. Watch this from NBC News.
White South Africans arriving as refugees at Dulles Airport outside Washington today on a plane chartered by the State Department, a process that usually takes years. Greeted by a top-ranking U.S. diplomat.
Welcome. Welcome to the United States of America.
And this from President Trump.
It's a genocide that's taking place that you people don't want to write about, but it's a terrible thing that's taking place, and farmers are being killed. They happen to be white, but whether they're white or black makes no difference to me.
The president signed an executive order in February calling them victims of unjust racial discrimination from the country's black majority, something the South African government vigorously denies.
Of course. Wake up, America. It's happening here. And because of people like Jasmine Cricket, who always talk about the white man, and others, it's only going to get worse. But welcome to I want to say welcome to them from South Africa, but you come and steal to Africa, to be honest. Unless you end up in Louisiana in that white town, hopefully that'll happen for you. Here are details on the race-based discrimination in South Africa.
The White House says white South Africans are under a, quote, government-sponsored race-based discrimination over a law it claims allows racially motivated seizures of land. But South African leaders strongly deny the allegations. The South African government says Afrikaners, who are descendants of Dutch settlers, benefit the most economically. While they make up only 7% of the population, they also occupy most of the farmland. The new law in question gives the South African government permission to take land without compensation in certain cases to address disparities to black South Africans as a result of the apartheid era.
Amazing, huh? White people may do better economically because they work harder. They save their money. They're going to do better. Black people don't like to work. What the? So they're not doing better just because they're white. They're doing better because they work. They earn it. And it is a genocide happening to white people in South Africa. Isn't that amazing? And if Donald Trump was not the president, this would not be happening. They would be coming here. Obama or Joe Biden would not allow it. The administration canceled temporary protected status from 4,000 Afghans, which some are upset about. Watch this.
While today the administration also canceled temporary refugee status for as many as 14,000 Afghans already in the U.S., including many who served alongside the U.S. in the war. All face persecution from the Taliban if they are forced to go back. Veterans groups reacting.
How do American veterans of the war in Afghanistan feel about the way their Afghan interpreters and allies are being treated?
We're pissed off. This is absolutely insane that we would treat people this way.
He loved me too.
While today the administration also canceled.
That's amazing, huh? the Afghanistan, they free now. They can go back home. They've been all is well at home now. Go back. The according to NPR, the secretary determined that that Afghans no longer continue to meet the statutory requirement for its TPS designated, and some she terminated TPS for Afghanistan. Watch this from NPR.
No, nothing to play.
Oh, that's not a soundbite. Okay. So they are free to go back home now. Be grateful that we let you come. You stay for a while. And now it's time to go back. All right? And welcome the white South Africans. You know, like, I'm a little reluctant to say welcome to America because it's like you've gone from the frying pan into the fire. Because it's the same thing here. It's the same thing here. Unfortunately, white Americans are under attack in the same way. A genocide is happening to white Americans right now. They're being robbed, raped, beat up, stealing their cars, all kinds of things. Right here in America, look at the suburb. It's happening all the time. In New York, in L.A., it's happening. But no one's talking about it because it's happening to the whites. But it's the same thing. And one other quick thing before I go to your calls. These people are coming here and they're bringing their asshole ideas. My country is gone and it's not going to get better. I know that. I accept that. I understand that. I see that. I'm asking a question I already know the answer to. But why, you know, I've been telling white people for years that what's happened in South Africa will happen to you here in America. No one seemed to believe me. Believe me. I wonder why they couldn't see it. And likewise, you don't see that by letting these people into our country, they don't have the same type of what you call values that we have. Even now, these different delivery companies are hiring these asshole people to deliver your food, to deliver packets to your home. And some of them are taking dumps in your yard. They think they're at home in their own country. KTLA 5, a couple of Los Angeles family woke up to unpleasant Mother's Day delivery on Sunday. A pair of KTLA viewers submitted video showing a delivered driver for Amazon pulled down her shorts and relieved herself in the front yard of two Woodland Hill homes. Watch this from KTLA.
Yeah, we're Kareem. We've heard the saying, when you got to go, you just simply have to go. But this takes it to a whole nother level. An Amazon delivery driver leaves a nasty surprise on this Mother's Day, and she was caught in the act twice.
A delivery driver for Amazon can't seem to hold it in. On more than one occasion, a woman is seen about to leave an Amazon package at this porch off Yano Drive in Woodland Hills around 5:30 Mother's Day morning. But she also leaves a smelly surprise. She relieves herself, does number one and number two before pulling up her shorts and walks away. The homeowners were expecting a Mother's Day gift.
When I woke up, my husband said he was going to bring me some coffee and a pastry. He went downstairs and was greeted by not only one package, but a second inappropriate, disgusting package, which was essentially like human feces and looked to be urination. So I was really disgusted. It was a horrible experience. And my husband unfortunately had to pick it up on Mother's Day.
Wow. You still want your package delivered? What do you say about that? What do you think about that? The woman urinated on the front property of a different Woodland Hill home. Watch this.
She was not done. On another delivery later that morning, the worker is seen urinating on the front property of a different Woodland Hills home. She pulls down her shorts, does her business, and takes off like nothing ever happened. It's unclear why the driver just couldn't wait to find a restroom. The incidents happened 20 minutes apart, the homes less than 1 mile from one another. Amazon reps say the driver was an independent contractor, adding in a statement, quote, "We're deeply disturbed by the unacceptable behavior of this delivery driver and apologize to the customers involved. We immediately identify the driver and they are no longer delivering on behalf of Amazon."
What a mess, huh? What do you say about that, folks? What do you think about that? Tisha, please. Tisha, please. In my country, this is what it has come to. In my country. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. She looked like a foreigner. I don't know if she's illegal or not, but she definitely looked like a foreigner. She probably thought she was in her own country. And in her country, she could do that. Tisha, please. And one last video. I want to know, but isn't that amazing, though? You may step outside your door to pick up your packets and step into some dump. She even looked around to see, well, let me see if any camera around or something. She didn't even wipe. She didn't clean it. She just got up and left. Here's a video. What do you think about this? What do you think about the way this woman handled this situation? Here's a video of an Asian woman barking at a black man for playing his music out loud on the bus. Watch this from X.
What you wanna do, get me up?
No,
what's that? What are you doing? What are you doing to everyone else who's here?
What about everybody else?
She thinks she's in China? Oh! What is up with it? Nick, I don't understand that one. What's her trip?
She's trying to make a point that he's playing his music out loud. She kept saying, oh, what are you doing to everybody else's ears? And so she's trying to make a point here, like, okay, you're going to play your music out loud. You kind of hear it in the background, like the little beat going.
Yeah.
And she's barking in his ears for that reason.
And so why is she barking like a dog?
To inflict on him the rudeness of him playing the music out loud from his phone, inflict on him the same pain. Bark in his ears to show him how rude he's being.
But she ain't afraid of that black man?
She kept saying, oh, what, are you going to beat me up? Oh, are you going to beat me up? She was like daring him.
Wow. Asking doesn't work. It may get you beat up. Oh. So Derek is saying by asking him to take it off, turn it down. I could see her getting cursed out when she asked him, can you turn your music down a little bit?
Yeah.
You would think that human being would kind of common sensely know, hey, I got my music up too loud. I'm on a bus. Everybody don't want to hear this mess. Was he an older man?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't call him an older man, but he may have looked older than her.
Yeah. But yeah, that's you on a China bus.
I don't think they do. Do they do that on the China bus? I don't think they even play the music out loud.
Maybe.
So that wouldn't even be happening. Yeah, he looked, he didn't, I wouldn't say he was too much older.
So do you think it worked by her playing crazy with him as he was playing crazy?
Worked how?
Like it didn't work. Right.
It was not effective in getting him to stop. It did not change society. So to answer your question, I'd say no.
What do y'all think about that one?
It may work in another situation, but not this one.
I know. Black man ain't going to turn the music down. That's why he's playing it, so he can cause havoc. 888-7753. She sounds like a dog. What's up? She ain't afraid of the blacks. Let me go to Dave, a first-time call out of California. Dave, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hey, Dave.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
All is well.
Good. Yes, I have. My question is, I have a lot of fear in my heart, in my head. I want to remove that so that I can meet a girl or a woman for a, to have a girlfriend or maybe possible wife in the future, you know?
And what are you afraid of?
I'm scared that if I communicate with her, she might kick me, beat me up, call the police, or say that I'm doing something bad or something, or maybe her or someone, maybe her brother might come out and clobber me or something. You
How
know?
Old are you?
Pardon me?
How old are you?
I'm 50.
50? And where and where is the fear?
I don't know if it's in my heart or in my head. I don't know.
What does it look like?
I don't know what it looked like. Maybe it's invisible, probably.
And how do you know you have fear then?
Because I don't make that attempt. I don't try.
And so, how do you know you have fear though?
I don't know how to answer that question. I'm not sure.
So if you're not sure, why did you say you have fear? If you're not sure, you have fear.
So does fear look, does it look like something, fear? Or or is it invisible?
And how do you know you have fear? Why do you say you have fear if you don't know you have fear?
I don't know.
So why do you say you have fear?
Because I don't. I don't try to communicate or try to introduce myself or try to talk to the woman or to the girl.
But why do you say that is because you have fear? You don't know what it looked like. You don't know. How do you know you have fear if you don't know what it looked like? Why are you saying that I have fear if you don't even know you have fear? Why are you saying you have fear? And if you don't know what it looked like and you don't know for sure you have it, why not go and talk to the girl and see what happens?
Like I mentioned to you, maybe I'm scared because she might hit me, spit on me, maybe call the police or something, you know,
Has that happened to you before?
Never before.
So where are you getting those ideas from?
I don't know. Maybe I hear that on TV or something. I see the women treating men very bad, you know.
But where are you getting the idea that all that might happen to you? It has never happened. You don't know if it's going to happen. Where are you getting the idea that it might happen to you and it's preventing you from going and talking to a girl? Where are you getting that from?
Maybe I I don't know. Maybe I seen that on TV or some show or something on the television.
And why would you believe something on some show would happen to you if it never happened before?
Well, yeah, that's true, because it didn't happen to me yet.
So why don't you talk to a woman? Next time you see a woman, you want to say hi or talk. Why don't you go and talk to her and see what happened?
And if it does happen, if she does spit on me or kick me or beat me up, what do I do? What do I do?
Did that happen already?
No, never happened.
And so why are you saying that if it happened? Why are you going with something that has never happened? Why not have a way to see?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Why not have a wait and see what happened? Wait and see what happens rather than thinking about what might happen.
Oh, so wait and see if it happened.
Yeah. Why don't you wait and see what happens rather than assume what might happen?
Oh, so don't assume. What do you mean by assume?
Assuming that she might kiss you, she may spit on you, she may call her brother. You're assuming something that has not happened. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, that was a question. Why are you doing that? Where are you getting that from that this might happen or might not happen? Why are you doing that?
I don't know. I don't know where this come from. I don't know. But you make a lot of sense that it hasn't happened yet. So I think you might be correct.
But I just asked a question. You're thinking something and believing something that has not happened, and you have this fear. You don't even know where it is. And yet you won't go and live your life. What will happen if you stop listening to those thoughts and just see what happens? What will happen to you?
If I stop listening to the thoughts.
Yeah, and just wait and see. Have a wait and see. Go and do what you want to do and see what happens. What would happen if you did that?
Probably nothing.
So then why don't you go and do what you need to do and see what happens?
Because I walk around the park. I go to the park when I'm walking, getting exercise. I see beautiful women. I say, man, I want to go talk to them, to meet them. But then I shake and shiver because I'm scared.
So next time you see a woman that you would like to say hi to or talk to her shaking in your boot. She doesn't know you're shaking. Shaking in your boot, walk up and say hello or whatever, and see what happens.
Oh, so she don't know that I'm nervous or anything like that?
Not at all. It's only your mind. She doesn't know it.
Oh, it's only in my mind only.
Yes.
She's not thinking, oh, this guy looks shy or he looks great.
Unless you acting out what you're thinking in your mind. Let's say you believe those thoughts. Oh, she's going to see this, she's going to do that. And you're acting crazy, she's going to know something's wrong. But if you just quietly shaking your boots, but introduce yourself, say hello, she doesn't know that because she's nervous too.
You think she's nervous too?
Oh, yeah. You're not the only one, buddy.
Also, then you think that me nervous and feeling uncomfortable, she is feeling the same way?
100%.
But she looking like a beautiful model, you know, walking down the showroom.
She's not showing you that she's shaking in her boots. And you don't have to show her you're shaking in your boots.
And that's very interesting. I never thought about that. that because I see the women walking so beautiful down the street or whatever, you know, and not known, they don't look nervous. They look like picture perfect. You know what I'm saying?
But when you're walking down the street and she sees you, you don't look nervous to her either. You look picture perfect to her. It's just all in your mind. You allowed an illusion to stop you from living. Why are you doing that?
Why do I have this crazy imagination in my mind? Where it come from?
Hold on 1 minute. I'll tell you in a moment. Let me take a break, all right?
Okay, thank you so much. I will wait for you.
All right. 888-7753-773. Quick break. Back in a moment. The treasure chest is now open on D-Live. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, folks, welcome back. Quick announcement. The Hake Report is coming up now. The Hake, HAKEReport.com from 9 to 11. And then at 11 a.m., did you put Hake up too? The Hake Report from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific Time. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, and then the American Anchor Baby, all right? The American Anchor Baby at 12 noon Pacific Time. And the latest form, Thursday night, ladies, it's the third Thursday this Thursday. Get ready. And check out my books. They are amazing, folks. The books, From Rage to Responsibility, my first book, and then Scam, How the Black Leadership Exploits Black America. And then a little small pocket guide that this you can carry it around. We use it in our entrepreneur program and everywhere. Seven guaranteed steps, only seven guaranteed steps to spiritual, family, and financial success guide. Only seven. And then last but not least, the antidote, Healing America from the poison of hate, blame, and victimhood. Wow. I will assign them to whomever you like me to do it. Go to rebuildingaman.com, rebuildingaman.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-BOND, rebuildingaman.com/store, all right? RebuildingTheMan.com/store. All of our merch is there as well. And support us, folks. We need your finance. Help us out. Let me go quickly back to Dave, a first-time call out of California. And so, Dave.
Yes, I'm here.
Your question is what?
I want to say something else to you. My friend, my good friend, he said to me, a little beer to drink would calm me down so that I'm not scared. But the problem, I don't want to do that. I don't want to drink any beer. I don't like it. The taste is bad. I'd rather drink water.
That's right. Don't do that. That's a cowardly way out. That's not how you overcome fear.
Mm-hmm.
You overcome fear by overcoming thoughts. You asked during the break, how did this happen? How did that happen to me? You're living in your imagination. You believe those thoughts that you're having are yours. The thought of fear, the thought of loneliness, the thought of depression, the thought of suicide, whatever thought you're having, you think that you are the creator of those thoughts, and you think they're real. And as long as you believe that they are real, they will control you. But when you realize you are not your thoughts, you don't create thoughts, all thoughts are all lies all the time, and stop identifying with them, then you will be free. Because thoughts create emotions. Emotions confirm thoughts. The thoughts tell you that you are afraid to talk to that woman. And then you get the emotion that feels like fear, and then you're like, yeah, I am afraid. Stop saying that. Stop listening to them and live your life. Do what you want to do in life.
How do I remove these thoughts from my big head? How do I remove these thoughts? But it makes sense.
Number one is that you got to forgive your mother for recreating you in her image. When you were a kid, your mother imposed her will on you, making you angry. And the moment you became angry, you became like her because you become like what you hate. And your mother lives in her imagination because she resents her mother. And you, so you forgot to be innocent and just live your life without thoughts. You escaped into your imagination and you've been living there ever since, identifying with evil. All thoughts are evil. And you've been identifying with evil, thinking that it was you. If you forgive your mother for turning you away from your father, for imposing her will on you, hey, mother, I'm sorry for what, resenting you for what you've done. Because the same way you think and the same way you feel, that's exactly how your mother think and feel. You became like your mother. So her mother did it to her. Forgive your mother. God will forgive you, and he will bring you out of those thoughts.
Well, so now that I think of it, I remember my mother would tell me lots of times she was scared for different things.
Yep.
And I used to tell my mother, why are you scared for? Don't worry about nothing. I would tell her that.
Yeah.
I would actually tell my mother, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the people and this and that. But now I find myself, I cannot take my own advice.
And that would be because when you were a kid, there was too much pressure for you. Your father should have protected you from your mother imposing that on you. And so, but he didn't do it because he didn't know how to deal with your mother. Your mother was his mother, too. But forgive your father for not protecting you from your mother. But you became like your mother because you resented that about her. That's why you have to forgive her for what she's done to you. Don't ask her to forgive you. You apologize for resenting her. And I promise you, Dave, God will bring you out of those thoughts, and you will freely live your life without thoughts.
So is that crazy that the advice that I gave my mother to not worry about being scared, all this I transformed into that?
Yes.
Into the advice I gave my mother, I give to myself now that I'm older now.
But do you understand you became like your mother?
I became like her.
Yes.
And how so?
When she was doing that and you were a kid, you couldn't handle that. It was too much for you. Because it's evil. Fear is evil, right? and it was too much for you to handle. You were innocent, and your innocent nature could not handle the evil nature of your mother. So you became angry at her. You resented her for acting that way. And the moment you resented her, you fell away from innocent and you woke up to the darkness in your imagination. You became like your mother.
And you know what is funny is that I notice I catch myself sometimes doing a lot of stuff that my mother did in the past.
Yes.
And I said to myself, oh, I remember my mom doing this same thing I'm doing now.
Yep. Because you become like what you hate.
You become what you hate.
Yes.
What do you mean by that one?
That you resent your mother and her ways, things that she did and stuff like that. You hated her for that. You call it anger. You became angry at her, which is hatred. But you became angry at her about those things, and you became like her because anger is judgment. But you didn't notice as a kid. You couldn't help it. And by becoming angry, you judged her for being so evil, and you became like her. Your mindset and your emotions are identical to your mother's mindset and emotions. It's the same thing. Is she still living?
No, she's not.
Forgive her just like you can't help yourself. She could not help herself. And when you realize that, stop being angry at her, and God will forgive you. He will clear up your mind for you.
How do I forgive her when she is not, she's gone now?
By realizing that you can't help yourself, you're controlled by thoughts and feelings, right?
Yes.
You can't help yourself, right?
Yes, I think.
Your mother has the same problem. She couldn't help herself. If she could have done better, she would have. She couldn't help it. She was controlled by her thoughts and her emotions as well.
So now my question to you is, how do I eliminate this from my big fat head?
Number one, by realizing I do have this anger and I'm wrong. And once you see that, it's going to start to change. And then I want you to have you forgiven your father for not protecting you from your mother?
Mm-hmm. What did you say?
Have you forgiven your father for not protecting you from your mother?
No, I never.
And so
I never thought about that.
And what did he say when you, as a kid, would ask him to help you deal with your mother? What did he say?
I don't remember he saying nothing to me. He just said, go about your business. Go play.
So when you asked your father to help you deal with your mother, he would tell you to go play?
I think so.
So
go outside and go ride your bicycle or something.
And so is he still living?
No, he's not either. He's not here either.
Okay. Forgive your father for not being able to protect you from your mother because he didn't know how to deal with your mother. He hated his mother, and the woman that he married was just like his mother. So he became the boy, and your mother became his mama. And the cycle repeats itself generation after generation until someone forgives.
So my father, he married my mom because it reminded him of his mother?
Yes, he married what he hated.
How can you, it don't make no sense. How can you hate something, but yet you marry them?
Because you love what you hate, but you don't realize that's what it is until you're locked into it. You have this false love. He had this false emotion for your mother, right? And it felt like love, but it was hate. Then he married her, and then he realized, I married a woman I hated. Because he thought love, that feeling of love, he thought that was love, but that is hate. That is not love. And it doesn't work.
You know, I want to mention something to you. I used to be married before. And I married this girl because she kind of reminded me of my mom.
I rest my case.
But what happened was when, as I was married to her for a long period of time, I started to realize I didn't like some of her characteristics. But in the beginning, everything was okay. She reminded me of my mother. But then later on, she's doing some stuff that is out of character from what my mom used to do.
You married your mother in the same way your father married his mother. You married the woman that you hated. You married your mother. And that's why you're afraid of women today. You're afraid of your mother because you have not forgiven her for what she's done to you. Anyone who has anger is afraid of their mothers, men and women. Because if anyone can make you angry, they can control you. And your mother had control over you. In the same way that woman was controlling you. You married the woman that you hated. You hated your mother. But if you forgive your mother by realizing she can help herself, God will forgive you, and you will never be attracted to the spirit of your mother inside of other women. You'll be only attracted to different kind of women.
So now if I meet someone and they're talking and they don't act like my mother, but they're acting like something else, I should be able to accept that since it's not the same stuff with my mom.
Well, don't plan that. Have a way to see. What I recommend you do, forgive your father, forgive your mother, and are you familiar with my silent prayer?
No. What is that one?
Go to rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. Mm-hmm. Rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. And I want you to start doing that so the light of truth can bring you out of all those thoughts. The thought of fear, the thought of anxiety, the thought of worry, the thoughts of emotions. It will bring you out, and you will only be subject to what is right. And if it meant for you to have a wife or another woman, the right one will be put into your life without you looking for it, and you would not have to make it work at all. But the one thing that will happen, you will have no fear. You'll be able to talk to anyone and deal with life in a perfect way. But you got to do the silent prayer. Stop calling it thoughts and emotions you. You're not your thoughts, and you're not your emotions. So you can stop identifying. You got to work on you right now.
So when I go about my business in the world, don't think anything crazy. Just do, because sometimes I'd be thinking too much.
Yeah.
About everything.
No, stop it. Do what's in front of you to do. Never think about the outcome. The outcome will work itself out. You take advantage of a good opportunity, and you do what you need to do and let those thoughts pass. Stop calling them you. Stop reacting and be aware of them, but don't call them you. You're not your thoughts.
Okay. I'm starting to calm down a little bit. I was a little nervous talking to you.
Yeah, because now your whole being is relaxing and those thoughts are kind of disappearing. I promise you, Dave, if you forgive your mother and your father, realize they had the same problem you have. You got them from them, especially from your mother. Forgive them and then do the silent prayer. You will have an amazing life.
Okay.
RebuildingTheMan.com/silent prayer, all right?
And there's a prayer in there that you can pray.
Yeah, it shows you how to just be still and let the truth catch up with you and reveal those thoughts to you, take you out of them. You're not your thoughts. The real Dave don't have fear. The real you have never had fear.
Really?
Yeah, who are you?
Just a man trying to live.
No, that's what you are, but who are you?
What do you mean? Who am I?
Who are you?
A person.
No, that's what you are, but who are you?
I don't know how to answer that question. What do you mean?
When you say, I have fear, who are you talking about?
Oh, me.
And who are you?
Dave.
That's your name. Who are you?
A man.
That's what you are. Who are you?
A person.
That's what you are, but who are you? When you say you have fear, who is telling you that you have fear?
No one is telling me.
But why do you say I have fear? Who is telling you that you have fear? And who is that person talking to?
Oh, I'm not talking to anyone. I'm just talking to myself, my brain.
Are you your brains?
No, my brain is inside of my head.
And so are you your brains?
Yes.
You your brains?
I'm me, yes. I am me, and then I have the brains.
Are you your brains?
I don't know how to answer that question. What do you mean?
Let me ask you this. Do you create your own thoughts?
Do I create my own thoughts? Yes, I think I do.
And how do you do it? Tell me the steps, three steps of how you create your own thoughts.
I think about something, and then I guess I do it. I think about something like maybe I'm cooking something food, and then I go cook food. Or if I go to make
Dave,
a...
Dave, tell me, how do you create the thought of fear? How do you create it?
Because I'm thinking that the woman is going to
I know,
hit
but how
me.
How do you create that thought to think about it? What are the steps? What are the steps you take to create a thought?
Oh, just think about it.
But how?
How? How your question is, how do I create that?
Yes.
Oh, in my head, I'm thinking
about
that.
But how do you do it in your head? What are the steps you take in your head to create a thought?
Well, maybe if I watch a TV or watch a news or something on TV and I see something that happened to someone else, I think about it, maybe it happened to me.
Let me do this because of time. Is it possible you do not create thoughts? Would you ever create a thought that would give you fear?
Would I create a thought that would give me fear?
Right.
Probably not.
If you create a thought, all your thought would be good and friendly thoughts, right?
Yes.
So why do you think you create your own thoughts? You would never create a thought of fear.
No, I don't think so. I don't.
Because of time, Dave, I got to run. I want you to do the silent prayer, forgive your parents, and call me back and let me know how it goes.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dave. Call me back. I want you to work on yourself.
I will, and you have a beautiful day, and thank you for accepting my phone call.
You're welcome. I want you to know you're not your thoughts, the good or the bad ones, and you're not your feelings, all right?
So don't think about the bad thoughts.
No, think about the bad ones or the good ones. You just live. Don't think about the past or the future. All you do is live right now. And don't think about the outcome of anything. Have a way to see.
So don't think about no outcome or nothing. Just do it.
Exactly.
Okay. I talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, Dave.
Hey, bye-bye.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat. Man, time going back.
I know. Very nice. Over on YouTube yesterday, Aaron G., are we all fragments of God?
I don't know what that means.
That's what he asked. Are we all fragments of God?
I don't quite know what that means, so I don't want to come up with an answer. Let me know what you mean. Either call me or Super Chat, but let me know the question is not clear. Thank you.
Aries1 on pilled.net gifted the cookie.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. That's cool. Yeah. Harmony is now Harmony Gratata Grits.
Harmony and Grits.
Is now a member on the J.C. Lee Peterson channel on YouTube.
Thank you. Amazing.
Someone bought a coffee. These are all yesterday's. We're still catching up, guys. Be patient. Hello, sir. Based on the church service, I believe I'm hearing you say, until the emotions in me are dead, it's no way I can or should say anything to my wife about this walk. Also, what does it mean to be stabbed?
If you... I wouldn't recommend you talk to your wife about it unless you, some words come naturally. You see something that, oh, honey, you need to drop your anger or blah, blah, blah. But don't try to help her. You can't help her. You can point her to the truth by telling her about it, but don't force it on her. And what was the other question?
What does it mean to be stabbed?
Every time you have a pain of fear, a pain of love, a pain of suicidal thought, a pain of loneliness, a pain of doubt, a pain of what I want to be like someone else, a pain of reputation loss, or whatever. That's what it means to be stabbed. Watch that stab, but don't call it you. Amazing.
Very nice. Energy given by God. Generous 10 coffees.
Thank you.
Church was amazing. I've been getting help each week. Thank you, Jesse.
You're welcome. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Rebuildingaman.com/church.
Someone bought a coffee. Hello, sir. I'm learning when a man listens to a woman, he will fail. Question. Say if a woman heard you and the man haven't, she invited him to you. Will it fail if he stays with it?
It will not fail because she's pointing you to the truth. Not to me, but the truth that comes through to me, through me to you, and it will take you. Absolutely.
Gregatron. Jesse, I have my best year yet. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
There's this song in the chorus that says, shine bright like a diamond. You guys should do a remix instead saying, he's drunk as a bastard. Sing it with me, Hank. What do you think, Jesse? Tell Hassan and Joel.
Sound interesting. I've not heard that song, but it sounds interesting. Amazing. Thank you.
Games for Rec. Shout out 555-555-565. Thank you guys, DLive crew, yesterday on DLive, the supporters, as always.
Amazing. Thank y'all.
Danny bought a coffee. All right, Jesse and the lads. Jesse, James, would you say it's wrong to tell your children about your fallen state ways when you were younger? Or do you think they would look at you differently?
I would be careful what I tell them and when I tell them. All right? Some things you don't need to tell your children. They don't need to know this about you, all right? And nobody else either, but they don't need to know about you.
Agreed.
Amazing. Thank you.
Three coffees from someone. Been counting all stabbings since yesterday. I'm surprised I'm still alive. What the?
The assignment is for a whole week. Count the number of stabs that you have every day for a whole week. Thank you.
Hayden on YouTube. Chickabay, I'm a tree in the wind.
Amazing. Thank you.
Pardon me.
I got to stop there.
We'll read the rest of them, the rest of today's Super Chats tomorrow, guys.
Thank you all so much.
I believe.
Teddy from Canada. Tracy, a first time call out of California. And the caller just dropped. I'll be back tomorrow, the Lord is willing, and the creed don't rot. Manhood hour, the third hour tomorrow. Little folks, there's no need for you to be miserable at all. Zero. It's not normal to be emotional. It's not normal to live in your imagination, to have thoughts like, you need to live free. Do what you want. Forgive your mama and your dad, everybody in the world. Forgive your mama and your daddy. God will forgive you and make you free. Do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. And don't forget to donate to him. We need your support, folks. What the? The Hake Report is coming now. And then enjoy a Friday and then the American Anchor Baby. Bye.
Like, my cousin, like, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, you know, he thinks the whole, like, everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on. And people want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, you know, he showed you to me. And sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
Thank you.
I wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you. Because we don't have more.
most guys that can, you know, stand lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you got to see, man, God is with us and all is well. I have books that are amazing. Highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success. Guy, even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.